Welcome to the FPL USA Press Play Podcast. This is the audio home for the amazing and ever-growing FPL USA community. You've got two of your hosts, Bucks and Brian, on the mic tonight, and we both want to start out by sending our best wishes, healing vibes, and love out to our third host and good friend Dan, who you might better know as FPL underscore Black Wolf. He is out of the hospital and recovering at home, and we are so happy about that news. So sending you love, Wolf, you disco ball head. Brian, how you living today?
I'm missing Dan on the pod, that's for sure. And we're, like you said, we're sending our positive vibes, and hopefully he'll be able to recover very swiftly here and go from a pretty bad red flag to maybe a yellow flag, and then hopefully just unflagged in the next couple weeks to a month. So sending him lots of love. And in the meantime, we'll just have to glow him up because he is flying. This is actually a tough week for both the hosts that are active today because we scored sub 50, but Dan is in the top 5.5K overall in the world. So at least his team did him well, and Wolves got a W. So he had a few things to keep him happy while in the hospital this week.
Yeah. Before we go full blowy on our Black Wolf buddy, let's talk about some of the action off the pitch, because if I'm not mistaken, Brian, I think we both organized meetups for FPL fanatics over the weekend. You want to tell the listeners about your get together out on the best coast?
Yes, sir. We had a few of us meet up, a few of our mini league mates in the Santa Barbara area, and we watched Liverpool versus City, which was a fantastic watch. I think there weren't as many FPL points as we were hoping, but it was a very interesting match to behold. And it was just fun to yell at the TV in person, wishing for FPL points, and then also maybe chasing a few wagers. It was a good time for sure. But you actually had a very large event out there. I saw a picture with maybe 10, 15 people. So tell us about your adventure in Brooklyn.
Yeah, I am now one of the co-organizers of At FPL Meets, which is a great initiative put on by NEMA and FPL Black Wolf to get FPL fanatics together to watch games and just grow the love of the Premier League and the FPL game. And shout out my co-organizer, Ankar Telekar. He's a legend and a big Manchester United fan. He was very lucky. He stormed into the bar with his Bruno Fernandes kit on, but it slowly became a Liverpool bar, not a Manchester City hotspot. So he wasn't getting sideways looks, whereas I was there in my Chelsea kit for the early match, which was Aston Villa at Spurs. And it was a Spurs bar to start out because we did it at the Black Horse Pub. The owner is a Spurs fan. I wish I knew that before I went in. I was getting a lot of evil eye for sure. We also want to shout out our mini league member, FPL Barrister, who came out from the Upper West Side. He took over an hour commute to come and hang with the crew. We had about 12 guys. We made some new friends. It was awesome. So the games were good. Can't complain when you get some beers together with buddies. What could be better than that?
Yeah, I was repping my son jersey, actually, because he came in big for my team this week, even though I still ended up on a red arrow, but he was a savior that morning. So I think, you know, when you're having a tough season, the best thing to do is get a group of guys and gals together, watch the football in person, have a drink or have some food. It's just a good time to remind us why we love the Premier League so much, even when things are rough around the edges with our fantasy teams.
And you could tell Brian is a pro. We've now done over 125 podcasts together because that is a perfect transition to get us into the rewind to Double Game Week 28 recap. Let's glow up our co-host once again. Black Wolf tops the scoring, 66 points. He was on 70, but took a -4 hit. That -4 hit was to bring in Big Z Zabarni, who gets a goal today. His first goal
first
in the
ever
Premier League. First goal since 2020 when he was in the Ukrainian Premier League. So that's a big step up for the lad. And he's into 5.4K overall. So he's the only co-host with a green arrow. But again, most importantly, we're sending him love off the pitch because we need him to get better so he can be our triple captain later on in the season as he goes for a triple digit overall rank.
If you captained Solanke and then had Palmer and Sun, you're definitely on a green arrow this week, regardless of what the other double game week players did in your side. So really nice score for Dan, and he's looking down upon us on the totem pole. So we'll kick it to you next. We want to give a quick snapshot of your team.
Yeah, it sucked. Double game week sucked for me this season. I had 53 points, but I took a minus four, so 49 all out. I halved my rank, so red arrow down to 22K overall. I'm still having a great season, but I only have the free hit chip left. So I'm going to be trying to tread water over the next couple game weeks. And going Kirkez instead of the Barney man was definitely Ouch. An error in my process. Let's leave it at that. That was not good. But I captained Solanke. He gets a return. And the other big boo-boo I had was I kept KDB instead of going for Sun. I decided that the minus four in defense was better than the minus four to move off Kevin when he was fully rested. And yeah, that was a huge mistake. I would have had Sun in my team and I would have been on a really nice green arrow. So I'll do better in game week 29 with my free hit and hopefully continue doing better for the rest of the season. With that, let's toss it to you, BC. How'd you score in double game week 28?
I ended up with 54 points, but took a minus eight hit and ended up on 46. So not having Palmer definitely crushed me. And I went with the captaincy of Neto as my goalkeeper this week. And that did not go very well at all. I mean, to let pass five goals to Chef U and Luton is, I mean, I was expecting one clean, to be honest, just to fall ass backwards into a clean. So to see them let up five goals, I mean, it was quite something. And I went to a concert in LA. I went to see Group Love last Friday and then set my alarm, wake up in the morning. And in the first 2 minutes of the Chef U game, I see Baraton Diaz, whoever the fuck that guy is, just bearing down on goal. And I'm like, oh my goodness, what have I done? I've captained a goalkeeper. He almost scores in the first 2 minutes of the week. And I'm just like on a roller coaster. Then later, Solanke misses the pen. So actually after the first game, I'm up 6 points in that transaction between captaincy. And then Solanke does me dirty with a great, great solo effort goal to spark the comeback for Bournemouth today in a 4-3 thriller versus the Lutonians. And man, that's got to just hurt right in the gonads, doesn't it, for the any Lutonites out there trying to fend off relegation to lose that one after being up 3-0 at halftime. I mean, just a unpredictable Bournemouth kind of double game week here. I don't think anything went according to plan. And like I said, Solanke misses a pen. Triple captaincy for those who went for him. Pretty unlucky because he was very close. Got another goal disallowed. So ultimately, hey, the triple captain for one Erling Haaland, and that's you a couple more points than going for Solanke. So just a weird couple of double game weeks. And let's just hope that 34 and 37 are much better than the first two we've had or first couple we've had this season.
Yeah, I will second, third, fourth. Amen to that. Hallelujah. We need some double game weeks that are actually enjoyable and have points because fuck these double game weeks. They've been absolute dog shit. With that, the average, speaking of dog shit, was 35 points. So I don't think really most members of the community had points. And definitely a lot of the dead teams have Holland cap and he blanks. Didn't have any of the doublers because who in the right mind would have Luton and Bournemouth players if you are not really engaged in tracking FPL like it's your second career? And yeah, they got punished for it. There were not a lot of points to be had in this game week. But it was still a wild game week in the Premier League. And, you know, from one double game week, we're now going to transition to a blank game week. So this is an absolute wild time in the FPL, let alone the Premier League calendar. And I think with that, we can press play into our first break. And when we come back, we will look ahead to that blank game week. There's not a lot to look for, is there?
All right, we're going to drop down some keys for you all to use to unlock a green arrow in blank game week 29. So We're gonna search under every rock. We're hoping to find that pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, because a lot of us are on free hit. And I think from a meta perspective, because there's only four fixtures, you're just gonna be so far ahead of managers who don't free hit this week, because they'll be taking minus fours, maybe minus eights, minus 12s to field, not even 11 guys this week. So I'm looking forward to being on a green from just that perspective before we even kick up all this game week.
I actually want to address that, because I have a words of wisdom for those managers who are skipping free hit 29, and that is to just not take the hit. If you have seven attackers, even if you have eight attackers, I would not give two shits about bringing in defenders. If I had zero defenders and zero goalkeeper in blank game week 29, I would not be fussed about that one bit. None of these teams are predicted to score a clean sheet, and all the teams are expected by the bookies to score at least one goal. So we don't have any good defenses in the eight teams that are playing, which we will touch on in one moment. And it just seems like the four matches all have the road team as favorites, which has been a little tough to predict this Premier League season. Obviously, you would prefer home cooking if at all possible. So without further ado, let's touch on the four Premier League matches and kind of let's give our expectations. What are our guesstimates for what's going to happen in each of these matches?
Yeah, I think we've seen a lot of content across the landscape of FPL this week that kind of goes through free hit teams specifically. But I think what we're going to do is we're going to preview each of these matches, kind of put our score prediction, how we think the game's going to play out, and then kind of call out maybe two or three of the best picks on each team that you should be considering, and also maybe some potential differentials for your side. So the way that I'm looking at this free hit in game week 29 is to have the, you know, the core six players that everybody else is really looking at, and then just having some fun and picking a few rogue picks. There's some good penalty taker options that you might fill your squad with. There's a few teams that are capable of scoring four or five goals across Tottenham and Villa. And so having those attackers will be key as well. So without further ado, let's start with Brentford at Burnley. Wow, what a shocking match this is. We have an out of form Tony traveling to play a bottom feeder like Burnley. I think Brentford have been okay recently. I think, they played well against City, played well against Arsenal, but this is a much, much easier fixture. And even though Tony is blanked in four games in a row, I think he's essential on free hit and he will be very popular. So he is somebody that, again, if you're looking to possibly have to take a hit, he's going to be one of the top captaincy options this week, even though he's out of form. So in this one, I'm predicting a 3-1 victory for Brentford. I think this is time they finally get a W. What are your thoughts here?
You read my mind. I was thinking 3-1 to the Bees as well, but I don't think there's a clean sheet here. So I know Reguilón is one of the players who was flagged going into double game week 28. Seems like he is going to be fit based on initial comments from Thomas Frank for the match and trip to Burnley. That being said, I think Fofana, I think maybe Vitinho, who's listed as a defender but was playing the second striker role last match, I think one of those guys pips a goal. And I'm seeing a lot of free hit teams on social media with the double up of Reguilón and Flecken. I Flecken don't get that at all. Flecken stinks. The Bees defense stinks. I think you go punt on goalkeeper and just try and get a couple save points and maybe bonus if you're lucky. So I think 3-1, I think both these teams score, but I think Bees cruise to a W away at Burnley.
Yeah, I know they've been out of form, but they have played a lot of tough matches recently. So I do, when I just look at this Burnley team, man, you're kind of potentially siding with the bookies to find where the clean sheet might be. And especially when you're looking at goalie as well on free hit, it's like, who knows who's going to get the most points like this week. It is really, like you said, there's a lot of predictions for each team to score this game week. So then maybe you go with the shot stoppers. It's tough to call, but from a set piece perspective, we do know that Burnley is pretty poor. And so if you wanted the insurance of minutes, you could potentially go with somebody like Collins in the center back position, who does have, you know, a big presence in the box. So he's somebody that, you know, could come in. And then I think we should also just shout out Wissa. He's scored three in his last three matches. Granted, one of those was a gift from Rammers when he deflected it into the net and wiped out the Arsenal clean sheet, but he is active, and we've just kind of seen Tony drop a lot deeper versus the tough teams and try and play that like Harry Kane light role, whereas the chaos maker and who's sprinting around the box and down the pitch has been Wissa. So he is definitely a shout that could be a good differential as maybe your seventh attacker.
Yeah, I rate that shout. And I think that Tony is going to be a little more selfish this game. So he's on penalties and he's their talisman. And I think we see a talisman-like performance from Tony in this match away at Burnley. Next up, Forest travel to the Lettonians. I think this match was a little bit closer until I watched the double game week from the Lettonians. And they are deservedly 20th in the defensive rankings in the Premier League. I mean, to be up 3-0 going into halftime away in what is almost a must-win game against a bottom-half team in Bournemouth, and then to lose 4-3, that's unacceptable, but it's also, that's madness. That just shows that you don't know how to squeak out points in the Premier League. And because of that, I almost think that at least one Forest attacker is essential on free hit. So I think Morgan Gibbs-White has penalties, but Ilanga is the one who had two assists in the reverse fixture. So I think both are great options as potentially a fifth midfielder or a fourth midfielder. And yes, Doughty almost picks himself as an attacking wingback option because of the set piece threat that Luton Town offer, and especially since they're at home. But I think this is 2-1, 2-2 to Forest. And I do like the idea of going with a Forest goalkeeper. That's currently in my side. I'm going to go with potentially Sells at the moment. And then I have, Toffolo. He's going to fuck off on my bench. But it's all to play for. And I think this is going to be one of those wacky games in out of the four. I think this one is the one that has a chance to be the unpredictable outcome. What say you?
Like you said, after watching Luton in this double game week very closely, they do not have a parking spot to park their bus. It's just non-existent. And that gives me a lot of faith, even in an out of form attacker like a Gibbs White, after seeing what somebody like Semenyo did, who looked awesome and has looked very, very good this season. It was a travesty, really, that he was been marked as a forward. Otherwise, he would have been very, very popular, as his counterparts like Tavernier and Kluivert did jack shit this double game week, whereas Semenyo had 15 plus points. So, yeah, I mean, I think Gibbs White is popular because he's also on some set pieces, has some avenues on penalties, and Lettonians, who knows what the F they're going to do in their game. So I think for you, my question is, we've seen a lot of free hit teams with little Elfie. Are you keeping the faith? He did have an assist today, but they give four goals. So is it worth having him, or do you think NFO is definitely going to score a couple in this one?
I'm going to keep him just for the attacking threat and the set piece upside, because Luton are one of the best teams in the league from set pieces, and they're dominant in the air. That's part of their strategy on how they are making a play to stay up, and Forest are less so in defense from set pieces. That being said, I mean, I think the big question here is about third striker, because it's really coming down to Morris or someone else like Wissa, who you mentioned earlier, or maybe even you get a little wacky and you talk about the guy in our next fixture, Muniz. And Morris, despite them scoring three goals, was not one of the six Lettonians involved. And he has been on absolute heater. So I wouldn't be scared off by that. But I just feel like, even though he has penalties, there might be better options elsewhere. So again, what's your prediction in this one, Brian?
I'm going to go 2-1 to NFO. I think both teams score, but I think NFO, they'll be ready for this. Lettonians played a couple really tough games here, trying to grind out results, and they have only gotten 1 point out of a possible six. So I think that could weigh on them as well. And just mentally, like, it's a heartbreaker to lose this match after being up 3-0 after 45 minutes. So how does that play as they go away to NFO? So lastly, Ewani and also the likes of Ilanga did not start in the past match on the weekend. So that was a bit peculiar because Elanga again has combined for 12 goal involvements this season and has really looked to attack the space when it's been available for NFO, which is again a rarity, but he was somebody that could have been a fun differential. But now we're not sure if he's going to start, so it's really hard to pick him over Morgan Gibbs-White. I think if they both started the past weekend, then it would have been a, you know, maybe a coin flip, but you got to go with the little Wario looking guy instead.
Love it. Let's go to the next match. Three out of four is Spurs at Fulham. A London Derby makes it into the blank game week. Now, Brian, I might be speaking out of turn for you a little bit here, and I know I'm speaking for Black Wolf, but I think if you're on free hit, you absolutely need to have three Spurs players. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. They are probably the best team out of the eight in this game week, and even though they're away, they have proven to be able to score on anybody and their mother and their sister and their baby brother and their cousin and their dog walker. It doesn't matter. Spurs and under the Ange Postecoglou system are scoring goals in bunches. And because of that, I predict that this could be 4-0 to the Spurs. And so
Wow, that's a lot of goals. That's a lot of goals.
I'm considering being a little wacky and going a triple up in attack for Spurs. What say you to that?
Like you said, you have to have a triple up if you're on free hit for Spurs. I think the combination of those players could vary. I also think that, you know, Fulham is a they are a bit spunky. I don't think they'll win this game, but they could show some resistance, especially if their guy Muniz comes up with an early goal and maybe shakes up the stadium a bit. But given Tottenham's form and just the fact that they're basically 100% healthy, other than Van de Ven being out and Richarlison, but the midfield is healthy, and that's the engine room that gets the ball up to the likes of Son. Kulu's been looking better, and then I think Brennan Johnson is going to start on the left wing. I think he's earned the right to keep getting minutes over Werner at the moment. Again, he's been with this side the whole season, and I think that he's just right now playing in a really good moment. So I would go with him if I was going to triple up an attack. I'd go Son, Matto, and Brennan Johnson. But again, we can wait and hear from Ange to see if there's any notes or notables. You could also go with the defender. I think there's three defenders that could maybe spring up with some points here.
Brian, how do you rank those defenders? Because I know what you're going to say. You're going to say Pedro Porro, Udongi, and the shithousery all-star, the captain of the nefarious dark arts, Romero. So how do you rank those three?
Yeah, in the last match, I think it's interesting to look at the heat map. I was checking it out on Fantasy Football Scout. Shout out to them and their members area. But the heat map was much more advanced for Udogie in the last match versus Villa, whereas Porro was pinned back a bit. Porro will take a few set pieces here and there, but in terms of any open play involvement, Udogie was much higher up the pitch. And because they are scoring a number of goals, all you need is a side pass, you know, to Son from the left side, and he could beg from anywhere. So I do like the fact that a lot of non-free hit teams might have Porro in it. So if you want to go against that, you could go with Udogie. But there's only one player really that has the 15-point potential, and that is Romero. Romero's done it a few times, put in some big 15-pointers. The above average FPL podcast, they were talking about he has the highest baseline bonus. So if they were to keep a clean sheet, that is somebody who is just far and away the best defender pick for getting those possible bonus points as well. So, you know, I'm chasing, so I'll probably go with the shithouse Romero, even though I don't like him very much, and just hope that he spikes a goal. And, you know, Porro, popular pick, he's a good player, but his highest haul this whole season is 8 points. And so I don't really fear him, especially from the open play perspective. So I'm just hoping to get lucky with a bullet header. And I think I'm gonna go with Romero.
I rate that. I actually second what you are saying. I think Udogie, Romero, Porro in that order would be my rankings of the three. And my hot take is that Porro is up there as one of the most overrated FPL players this season. Everyone has him or had him in their team. He's expensive. And even though we're not going to be able to fill up the coffers with this free hit squad, I don't think he's a must own. And I'm seeing he's very, very, very template. He's not taking as many set pieces. He's only on one side, if that, for corner kicks. I think the moment has passed for one Pedro Porro. With that,
I don't know if he's like overrated, but there was a moment obviously with a lot of injuries, so he was just on all the set pieces. So he was one of those perfect FPL players.
8 points a match is essential. I mean, that's his best return. He hasn't touched double digits once.
No, and but I'm just saying, talked about
the best defender in FPL. I mean,
everyone was hurt, so he was just all of a sudden like going from no set pieces to like, oh, I'm on every free kick and corner. So it was just he's actually a perfect storm for FPL because people went on him and then went off of him, right? Like that's what we actually want for FPL. But I think it's going to be interesting. Romero has 4 goals this season, so he's a donger. And so I think I'm just going to risk that. And the only thing that could go wrong, Bucks, a -1 or -2, because he is red card prone. Let's just hope it doesn't happen and he doesn't have to wake up on the wrong side of the bed in London before he drives over to the match.
Yeah, he might slide tackle the opponent. He also might just punch the referee in the face. You don't know from one Romero.
Shithouse 11 captain allure right now.
Next up is the final match in the blank game week. See, we got there in the end. This was pretty cut dry and easy. That's Aston Villa traveling to face off against West Ham. I think this is the hardest match to call because if it was Aston Villa at home, I know I would be on Aston Villa triple up and I'd be playing all three of them with confidence. But their form has been a little more shaky recently, and West Ham at home is not quite an easy fixture, so to speak. So I know if you are not free hitting, you will probably be rolling out Areola in goal and praying for the best. But I think this is a really interesting match for players on free hit. And that's, you know, do you double up with Bailey and Douglas Luiz? Do you get a little wacky? What do you think?
Yeah, it's an interesting proposition to be in because I was taking a look at some stats from, once again, Fantasy Football Scout. And of the 8 teams, the 7th ranked defense out of those 8 teams is West Ham with a goal every 53 minutes. So just to give you a little perspective, Luton gives up a goal every 46 minutes. And then the 2nd worst is West Ham. So they've been pretty shaky in the back. And so I think that a double up on the Villa attack. And again, Villa is a team that we've seen score consistently 3+ goals. And that's the upside that you want to chase. And so I think it makes sense. But how you pick between players on both sides, because Villa's defense looks pretty shitty too. And you can't trust that Moreno or Dean are probably going to start. So we're recording this podcast on Wednesday, March 13th. Tomorrow, hey, my birthday, we will find out some European shout outs, from those matches, and we'll kind of get a better feel for who's going to start in those important matches for both teams. Actually, they're both really important for West Ham and for Villa. So, you know, if there's a possibility that Moreno picks up a knock, Dean would definitely be in my side as a troll pick. I know he's burned us in the past, but he's somebody that I would possibly look to. But I think deciphering between the open play threat of Bailey versus penalty shout merchant Doug Luiz is tough, but we haven't seen Doug Luiz score away from home, and this is an away match. The whole season, he hasn't scored one goal away from home. So that would make me lean towards Bailey Watkins double up. What say you?
Yeah, I'm a Bailey believer, and I think swerving both of these defenses is not the worst idea. Again, my way of attacking free hit is I want to be a little bit differential from the crowd. So I want to have, 5 or 6 of the most popular options. I think that's going to be Son, Madison, Tony, Watkins for sure. And then maybe Bowen would be the 5th. And beyond that, I think you can get a little bit wacky and a little bit wild, because if you pick right and are on one of these differential guys, let alone if you're on 2 or 3 of them on free hit, you could really be flying. And I think we're going to see a lot of non-free hit teams be scrambling to just get the safe picks. So again, you're not going to need a guy like Vitinho or Wissa for future game weeks. It's just a one and done with these guys. So that's why I think maybe go against the template a little bit more than you would normally, because it's a flash in the pan. That's what free hit is all about. So I think with that, this is a good way of covering. Do you have a score prediction for Villa at West Ham?
This one's tough. I mean, I see this one as a 2-1 or a 3-1 to Villa, just given their attacking form this season, and hopefully Bowen will be the goal scorer on the other side. But Paquetá is on penalty kicks. He's somebody that's gaining a little momentum, and Kudus has done it before and had a brace earlier in the season. So those are other picks again that could make your free hit watch list. And I think the way that Bucks and I are looking at free hit is basically choose the seven starting attackers you want first, and then fill in the rest of your team. Don't prioritize, oh, I need to have a defender from Tottenham. Just pick your favorite seven attackers and then fill the rest of the team out from there. Because defense, like we said, is ultimate crapshoot this week. Snake eyes are going to be rolled, that's for sure.
Very true. Yeah, I think this is 3-2, and I think this is a big Ollie Watkins moment. I think he could score a brace, and I think Bailey could get a goal and assist. So I really like the fact that we're both aligned on those two guys.
I mean, that would go with the reverse fixture where we saw Villa win at home 4-1, and Louise brace, Watkins goal, Bailey goal in that match. Bowen scored as well, so I'd be up for that again. If all those guys are going to contribute to points, that would be fun.
Yeah, maybe a Paqueta missed PK and Emi Martinez gets some shithouse points. We're all about that. So I think this is a good point to pause and just mention that both you and I, as well as Dan, we're all on free hit going into game week 29. We've been talking around this plan for a number of episodes now, but if you didn't already know that there was a free hit opportunity and a big blank in 29, then this is the time to do it. If you do not have at least six or seven players, again, mostly attackers should be the focus, but say you have six outfield players and Areola, I would just go for it. You don't need to necessarily, free hit it. You can get a minus four and get enough guys out for this game week. However, if you're on four or five guys, like I think both of us are, just hit the free hit and move on with your life. There's no reason to be taking minus 12s or anything wild for, eight teams and let alone no good defenses.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting situation where, especially after being spurned by this double game week, where a lot of us focus transfers on these shitty double game week players, we were let down. And at least if you free hit in 29, you're going to be able to field a full 11. Whereas in 34, which is another popular free hit option, there are single game week players that you will have that will outscore any of the double game week players. We saw it this week with the likes of Sun, with Cole Palmer. So I just like the ability to field 11 this week, and then maybe I'll have two or three double game weekers, four in double game week 34. But at least I'll have other players who are better assets long term and have proven that they have double digit haul potential, and that's what we're chasing for in FPL.
All right, great transition. Let's take our final break. When we come back, we'll drum up the DVR and dive into FPL community questions in our mailbag and our final segment, transfer plans and captaincy shouts.
Time for the blank game week 29 mailbag. We just have a few questions to answer this week, and always appreciate you guys giving us a follow on social and engaging with us there. So let's start with one of our female friends of the pod, Sonia Cookler. She has a question because she is not on free hit this week. So she wants to know who is more important of an asset moving forward and to bring in this week, Bowen or Madison? Tough call here, Bucks. What do you think?
Madison is my pick because if you look beyond game week 29, where he plays at Fulham, he also then plays Luton in game week 30. And I think the triple up is probably going to also be essential on Spurs. And I know a lot of managers who are free hitting this game week will not be able to get there. So I think, Sonia, if you bring in Madison this game week, you'll potentially be one step ahead of many in the FPL community for the game against Luton. So you get goes at two bad defenses in two game weeks, which yum yum.
Let me update that actually, Bucks. It's going to be three bad defenses in a row, four bad defenses in a row, because they play at West Ham right after that, and then they play Forest at home. So they have a really good run in the next four game weeks, and then they're going to run into a murderous row. Oh my goodness, looking at this. Oh, they play Newcastle in 33. That's an easy fixture too. But 34, 35, and 36, Man City, Arsenal, and Liverpool all back to back to back. So I will be getting rid of most of those assets then. But for the next, five game weeks, they're good assets to have.
Yeah, we don't have confirmation yet, but Spurs are one of the teams that might also have a small double game week together with Chelsea potentially.
Yeah, that's
So
right.
they're a team to monitor and they are in focus right now. So, Sonia, I think the choice is clear. You want to have Madison. He's going to have the chance to assist Son. He's going to have the chance to score goals himself. And he's on lots of set pieces. He would be my pick over Bowen. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy.
That's right. He has been playing a little bit further back, but now that the whole squad is healthy, I think Ange wants him to press up more. And he actually said that after the 4-0 victory versus Villa, I want Madison higher up the pitch because he can score from just about anywhere. So you'd love to see that vote of confidence from the manager as well. And then let Sarr and let Bissouma do all the cleanup duty in the back.
Great shout. Next question is from at my Cayman fan. He's asking, what are our thoughts on a 1 week punt on a low owned third Spurs attacker? And he specifically is asking questions about Werner or Brennan Johnson, but also throw Kulusevski into the mix here. So do you like any of those picks? And I'm assuming my Cayman fan is lining up for a game week 30 wild card, which is a very popular strategy for those who still have that chip in the community. So this is a great time to get wacky. Who's your call?
Yeah, for me, I really want to go with Brennan Johnson. I think he has the ability to probably get a possible double-digit return. He's shown that he's in and around the box. I think Kulu is a player that, even though he will get 90 minutes, he is more likely to be drifting from a wide position and putting in crosses, whereas you're more likely to get a goal from somebody like Brennan Johnson. So the minutes thing could be at risk, though, because Werner is going to deputize the left when he comes off the pine. So you just have to be a little aware of that. Brennan Johnson might play 65 minutes, depending on game state, and you'll just have to be fine with that. So 90-minute man, though, is Kulu. So I think those are the options. I wouldn't go with Werner, even though he's been a good sub at the moment. I just think, again, Brennan Johnson's ahead of him in the pecking order on the left.
I rate that. I actually think it's a little closer than you're making it out to be. I think Kulusevski has gotten a lot of really good performances, and he's done the double-digit haul before in the Premier League and for FPL managers. Right now, he does appear to be more of the assister than the goal scorer, whereas Johnson is really bombing forward and going to that back post to make attempts on goal. So I think it's Johnson one, Kulu to Werner, a distant third. And that has nothing to do with the fact that he spurned me and crushed my soul many a time while he was a Chelsea player.
I know, that's right. It's so weird to just be in free hit mode and not care at all about price because all these players, other than Son, are 8.5 million and below, basically. Watkins is a little higher than that, but he's already in everybody's side. So it doesn't matter on price. So you're just trying to imagine the game state and how the game flow is going to go and where there might be some zonal matchups that you could take advantage of. So, friend of the pod, at FPL Lens. He's part of the Net That Haul podcast. You can check out those videos on YouTube as well. And they do a great job identifying where the zones are on the pitch for specific matchups that they could see FPL points from. So the key attackers versus center backs, key attackers versus poor wing backs and fullbacks. So make sure to give them a follow and check their stuff out this week because that could help you identify maybe who's better from a pick, the right attacker or the left attacker.
Yeah, and just to further glow up past guests and friend of the pod at FPL Lens, he went Semenyo. He backed his data and picked the right
Wow.
guy with a who had the
Huge.
brace today. So that's a big call and shows that there is some method to his madness. With
Love
that,
that.
let's go to our final question at the Run CMC. He's asking about captaincy. So Tony, Son, or Watkins? This is let's save this. Corey, you're come on, you're a loyal listener. You know that's coming right now. Come on, just give us a second.
Captaincy plans and transfer shouts, or did I say that backwards? transfer shouts and captaincy plans. No, I said it backwards again. Bucks, what are we doing here?
Transfer plans and captaincy shouts? We're going to give you a pass, Brian, since you might already be in the booze in advance of your birthday. So loyal listeners, if you're listening and you're at this point in the pod, make sure to get into the comments on social media and wish our beloved Brian a happy birthday. This old man is not getting any uglier. He is falling further down the rankings in the FPL game. So you win some, you lose some, so to speak. So
no Brian, salt and pepper in this beard yet. So I'm still fully dark, but one day I'll have the salt and pepper and look a little bit sexier.
Yeah, you're still just a puppy dad at this point. So let's answer Corey's question, since none of us will be making transfer moves this game week. So Ryan, who is going to be your captain for blank game week 29?
It's got to be my boy, Sonny. Again, he has the massive haul potential. And I think when we're looking at what he just did in garbage time, he's going to play the full 90. Richie is most likely out or definitely not going to start this upcoming week. So he's just a shoe-in because of that haul potential. And you love to see that the rest of the Spurs assets are ready to go. They're ready to get into the scoring positions. Son has also been in the side for many, many moons. I was actually looking at some stats here. He's had 8 straight seasons of 20-plus goal involvements in the Premier League. An absolute icon. And so I cannot wait to captain him this game week. But VC, we're going to give to Morgan Gibbs-White. I'm going to go for the him as my VC over Tony. Tony's out of form. I think Vissa could outscore him this game week. So I'm just going to go with the rogue VC on the Wario-looking guy.
I like it. I just reached out to Dan. He's also captaining Young Min Sung on his free hit team. I think what's interesting is the extra point for a goal scored. And when midfielders score a goal and there is an outside chance that Spurs do keep a clean sheet, it's a small one, but there are just extra trickled in points that add up over the course of a season. And Son has that advantage over both Tony and over Watkins. So I like that move. He will also be my captain. If you were breaking it down top three, I would go Son, Watkins, Tony in that order. And I even think that there is a wild card player. You shouted out Gibbs White. I like that call. I think there's definitely a player in the mix that is going to outscore all three of these guys, and he's totally off the radar. So we're going to be sheep. We're all on Heung-Min Sung, captain.
Hopefully it's Christian Romero, 15-pointer.
Yeah, you will be flying high for our Game Week 30 preview, if that's the case. I hope to see it.
I was actually looking at Tottenham and Fulham head-to-head. Last 5 matches in the Premier League, the Spuds have kept 3 clean sheets against Fulham. So this is one where the teams are familiar with one another, and there is a small chance that you could get that clean sheet point as well. And it's just Son. I mean, he has the highest ceiling, so I think that's what you go for.
Yeah, but they didn't have magical Muniz in the mix when those
that's
games
true.
Were going off.
This guy's taking like 5 shots a game. Crazy.
He's only behind Haaland and Watkins since he locked down the starting spot. And we should just take 2
you're,
seconds.
You're
to
already
send
teasing my my game week 30 hit. Muniz is almost in my side.
Oh, I love to hear it. I just want to shout out because we sent Brogia there. Chelsea did. And we were hoping he was going to rebuild his value to become like a 40, 50 million man. And this Muniz guy out of fucking nowhere, he's the one who's looking like the real player. And Brogia, get fucked. You suck, man.
Oh, man. Golly. Fofana, Didi Fofana is increasing his value way more than somebody like Brogia. Oh, rough times for Chelsea. But at least we got the W. Cole Palmer came through. And hey, this is your first week owning your boy. Cole
oh, it
Palmer,
felt so
signing,
good.
Signing of the year. I can't believe this is your like first couple weeks of owning in the season. It hurt
it's
me
my
not
inauguration
to
the Cole world. I think
yeah,
with
right.
that, we can call it a podcast. Let's again send our love and best wishes for a full recovery to our co-host at FPL underscore Blackwolf, aka Dan. He is a hero and very well known in the wider FPL community, specifically very active with at FPL Meets, which we shouted out before, and hashtag FPL USA. I am at FPL USA Bucks. Brian, at FPL USA Brian. You can find the podcast at FPL USA Press Play on your favorite socials. We hope you give us a listen, and we're all about fun and banter and vibes. And so good vibes and big scores in blank game week 29. Let's go, baby. Thank you again for listening.
We miss you, Dan. Heal up.